says, well, you don't know. You really don't know if you're saved or not saved. Well, the Bible says you can know. 1 John 18 time to tell us that we may know that we have salvation. We have know that we have turned from darkness unto light. We have know. Do you know for sure? It's a no-so salvation. It's not a hope-so or think-so or maybe-so. It is a no-so salvation. Well, we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, do we not? Does that include you today? That includes me. That includes everybody in the human race, all except Jesus Christ, knew no sin, could not have sin to start with. Well, man has a great need. You come in this building today that you have a great need. I like for everyone here this building today, you know for sure now that you're saved. I would like for you to be praying for some other soul to be saved today. See, well, here is that message about salvation. I'm saved. What it's going to mean to me today. I hope that you pray while I'm preaching this word of God that it's so simple that I might be able to preach. It's so simple that a child can understand that they're lost and they need to be saved. Also, I hope that you pray that God would give that person this hour that's lost and would come down and sit in this chair of faith. Sitting in this chair of faith, proving that you accept Jesus Christ. It will prove that you're depending on Jesus Christ. Everybody in this building, would you could just nod your head if I was asked you to. If you was to come and sit in this chair, do you really believe everybody in this building, do you believe if you come and sit in that chair would hold you up? Y'all believe that chair would hold you up? Well, y'all believe if you accept Jesus Christ, he would save you. Now, the thing about it is you need to come and try that chair because you see, if you sit in that chair, Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall come into me, he says, I shall not cast out, they shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. And by coming and sitting in that chair, you're proving that you're trusting in Jesus Christ. Faith is a trust. Faith is a trust. Faith is also a commitment. So I hope that you'll be praying for me today. Every man here, every person here, every boy and girl here today has a great need. Why did Jesus Christ come to this old lost, dark, and dying world? Well, a lot of people say the greatest need of mankind, if he would have come, Jesus Christ, because we need education. Well, if that had been it, Jesus Christ would have come as an educator, in which he was a great teacher. People in our economy today, in our country today, say the number one problem we have today is our economy. If that had been the truth, Jesus Christ would become an economist. Well, how about our social today? Our reform, Jesus Christ would have come as a social reformer today if that would have been man's greatest need. Well, how about healing today? Many people sick. Well, Jesus Christ came to heal, but that wasn't really the reason he came. The reason Jesus came, it says in Luke, to seek and to save that which were lost. That's the main reason that Jesus Christ came to this world. John 3:16, God so loved the world. It says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, wasn't everybody lost? Everybody was lost. But those who understand, well, the Holy Spirit of God, by the Word of God, here today, to let you understand that you're lost. That's the business of the Word of God and also the Spirit of God. To tell you today, if you're dying your sin, just like you are right now, if you come in this building, you're going to a place called hell. God did not send you there. That's your own choosing. You can choose salvation if you want to. Whosoever will, that's your choice. But if you die in your condition right now, you're going to a place called hell if you're lost. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those which were lost, to understand those were lost. And the Holy Spirit of God will convict your heart this day. I pray that you'll understand that you're lost and you can be saved today. Now, you might not have come intention to being saved today, but Jesus Christ, pray for the power, Lord, to work on that person today. Now, the three main problems that you have today, mankind has today, is a problem of sin. Have we all sinned? Yes. What are you going to do with your sin? You cannot pay God back for one little lie that you ever told, one little pencil that you ever stole. The problem of mankind is sin. What are we going to do with our sin? The next problem we understand, not only sin, but sorrow. You're going to have sorrow. Who are we going to run to of time of sorrow? You're going to have sorrow in this world. Third thing is death. You're going to die if Jesus Christ don't come back. You're going to go through the what we call death door. Man has three problems, not four, not five, but three. Jesus Christ is the answer of all these three problems, and that is salvation. The Titanic, when they sailed the maiden voyage on that Titanic, there was many classes of people on that maiden voyage. There was the rich, the first class, and then there was the crew. There was the laborers. They were the second class. But did you know whenever that ship went down in those icy waters and the names reached back to the homeland, they had two lists of people, the lost and the saved. Didn't mention the rich, didn't mention the poor, didn't mention the second class, didn't mention the crew. The names come out in the news. Column lost, column saved. You hear this morning, you in either one or two of those columns. A lot of people today, they're sailing on this ship. It's called the Titanic of life, hoping maybe whenever they die, they'll go to heaven. Hope so. Maybe I'll do the best I can. Well, I'm going to tell you, if that's your way of getting to heaven, you're on that Titanic, and all you're doing is just arranging chairs on that Titanic, but you're going down with that ship. Arranging chairs and being a good person will not get you into heaven. As we read the first four verses, I guess, in chapter 10 of the Romans, this is the constitution of salvation. Brother, my heart desires and pray, Paul speaking to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. You would say the day that I'm praying, I have a desire in my heart that my family, my loved ones, my friends shall be saved. For I bear them record that they have an zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. They was very religious as some people today. They come to church occasionally. They try to be good. Paul says they had a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge of God. Verse 3 says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Proverbs said, what thinketh man leadeth to death. That is what man thinks in his own mind. What you think today, if you're lost, what you think, how you're going to get to heaven, it'll lead to destruction. It'll lead to a place called hell. They being ignorant of God's righteousness. As I said, there's nothing that you can do to earn your righteousness. The Bible says, you know what, all of our righteousness, God says, as filthy rags in God's sight. You have no righteousness. You cannot earn righteousness today. But these Jews, the people that's religious, and even the people that are sitting here today, they think they're righteous enough to go to heaven. But the Word of God said, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they try to go about establishing their own righteousness by doing good, by being good, by thinking good. And it says they are lost, going to a place called hell. Then verse 4 it says, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believes. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we just pray, God, this hour. If there one here today, oh Father, how we pray, God, that you will touch thy heart. Let them realize that they are lost. No one can be saved except, first of all, God, that you will talk to thy heart. Talk to thy heart, Father, and let it know that it's lost. No one can be saved, and first they come to know that they need a Savior. I pray, Father, that person of God this day, I throw themselves on Jesus Christ, realizing there's no other way except Jesus. There's nothing that we can do. There's no goodness in us, and only in Christ Jesus. How I pray, God, that you might give them the power to rise from those pews when this service is over, the invitation is given, the prayers have been offered, that person sit in a chair of faith and be saved this day. We thank you. We plead with you this day. We know the Word of God will take the Spirit of God and carry it to our heart this day. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The Constitution of Salvation. In these few outlines that I've given you this morning, I believe this is the Constitution of Salvation. The Constitution we have here is a foundation. Just as we have the Constitution of the United States, it's been devoured in our country and it's been chipped away at. Well, I'm going to tell you the same thing about the constitution of salvation. Easy believism here today. Liberalism here today. But I believe here today is a constitution of salvation. You need to understand this, the source of salvation. The source of salvation is the grace of God. It's not the goodness of man. It's not the goodness of man. It's not keeping the Ten Commandments, trying to do good. You cannot be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. You cannot be saved by keeping the commandments. The commandments was never given for anybody to be saved, but to show people that they needed to be saved, but it could not save them. Why? Because nobody could ever keep all the commandments. If you fail one of the commandments, you fail them all. God was just holding a mirror up, the mirror of the Word of God, and showed mankind, all the nation of Israel, and mankind today, you cannot live by the commandments of God. You'll never be saved by the commandments of God. A mirror will show you the dirt on your face, but it cannot cleanse you. The commandments of God, understand this today, your goodness, trying to do good, keeping the law, being good, will not save you. It will not save you. The Ten Commandments, man, it says, is ignorant of God's righteousness. Remember, you can't do anything for God's righteousness. There's nothing. You are not right today. I'm not right today. Only thing I'm right in Christ Jesus. That is a gift of God through eternal life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, now you have a gift of God's righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. It's something God gives you. You cannot improve on God's righteousness. You cannot add anything to the righteousness of God. If you're here today and you accepted Jesus Christ as His righteousness, He's bestowed upon you, and you cannot increase in that. You cannot do no good works to add to that righteousness. It's all in Christ Jesus. It's what He's done for you this day. If you're saved today, you understand that God's done it for you. But we usually get it wrong and also backwards as mankind. The Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's in Christ Jesus, and all these things that you're trying to get and do into your life, He says, I'll add that to you after you get saved. Many things, you know what, we put things first. Man, if I just get me a house and I get me a car and I get out of school, young kids, when you graduate, get you a good job and get married and get you a home and get you a family, then I'll serve God. Get things first. God didn't say that. He said God first, and then these things that you seek after come next. We always get it backwards in this life. Always get it wrong. It comes a time whenever we give an invitation and a child will come down this aisle, and you know what? We want to ask that child adult questions. If they can't answer adult questions, say, well, they ain't ready yet. That's not what the Bible said. It says, you adults, you grown people, you come like a child. We want to get it backwards. We want to get it backwards. You need to come as a child, as childlike faith, it says. You know, we want to try to behave and then believe. I mean, quit trying to do some things in your life. Get your mouth cleaned up. Get your heart cleaned up. Quit doing this and start going to church and start doing this. We want to behave and then God will add righteousness. And that's not the way it works. That's backwards. You come just as you are. God gives you the righteousness and then He is the one that cleans you up. Quit trying to quit this, doing this and quit doing that and trying to clean up your own life so God will accept you. God don't accept you then. He accepts you just like you are. And you see, He loves us to change us. Yes, yeah, some people think they got to change for God to love them. God loves you just like you are. That's godly love. Quit trying to change yourself and make God love you. God loves you just like you are. In the position you are, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how the life I've lived. It don't matter how you've lived or what you've done. I'll tell you one thing, and you understand this, that God loves you. God loves you just exactly like you are. You mean to tell me in my sin of what I've done and let my life and what I've looked like, what I've done, God, yes, I want to tell you God loved you while you was in your sin. He loved us all while we was in our sin. Every one of us. We did not the first person do anything to deserve our salvation. Amen? Not the first one of us. What Christ has done for us while we was yet sinners. We want to behave and then believe. We want to work and then have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to work and to have this righteousness. Verse 3 and 4 again it says now, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It's God's righteousness themselves. Now I'll give you the testimony of Paul as he wrote these words. Back in Paul in Philippians, hear what old Paul said. Now Paul, he was a great man of God. He was a man, I'm going to tell you, was Paul, he was also a Saul. He was a man after God's own heart whenever he got changed over. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 and on. Paul and I talk about his goodness. You think you're good enough today to go to heaven? You sitting here today and you think that you're good enough? You think you've done enough of merits with God? You think you have enough of righteousness to go to heaven? You think God's going to love you for what you've done? Listen, no, Paul, if you think your goodness is good enough to get you to heaven. Listen to what old Paul says. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh of what I've done, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he says, I have more. Circumcised of the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I mean, I kept the commandments. That was a covenant they had with God. The tribe of Benjamin, a great tribe. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. I mean, I was a stark Hebrew. He says, touching the law of the Pharisees, we kept the law of Naaman and added more laws to it, and we believed in true and those laws. He says, concerning zeal, man, he said, I was hot, persecuting the church, thought the church was a cult. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, I was blameless. Nobody can say that Paul was an adulterer. Nobody can say that Paul done this, done that. He kept the law. He was blameless. Then he said, but what things were gained to me? Of those things I counted was lost for Christ. Those things I counted lost for Christ. Why? Because Paul took all them good things he thought he was doing. I mean, all this good work he thought he was doing. It was over here on the plus side, and he put them over here on the debit side. Why? Why? Because that was keeping him from Christ. Let me tell you, if you think that you're good enough this morning, you think you got some deal worked out with God. I've talked with people, man, don't bother me. Me and God's got something going. I tell you what, you and God got something going. It's your own lost mind. But what you think in a lost mind, you and God got something going. What you think lead us to death and destruction, that's what you got going with God. Because let me tell you what, sir, you can't reach a holy God without Jesus. Without Jesus Christ, you can't pray. You got nobody to pray through. Jesus Christ is the way to God. And the only way, did he say, I am the only way to the Father. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Me, he said. You got something worked out with God, you're going to hell. God didn't work out anything with you. He worked it out with his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins, sir. All you got to do is accept that. Accept that by faith. Now, all you have to do, it says, is trust. All those things Paul said, they keeping me, it was keeping me from trusting God. Well, you've ever been on Interstate Highway and going through a town, and you know how busy the traffic is, and they roads going everywhere, and 4-0, you know, you take it off, boy, you're making good speed. Man, 70 mile an hour hitting on up, boy, you're natural ongoing because you hadn't seen a sign, and the wreck you see a sign, and you realize that you're going in the wrong direction. But you was making good time, wasn't you? Well, I'm going to tell you what old Paul was saying. Your goodness, what you think you're going to heaven, you're making good time on that super highway, but I'm going to tell you what, you're getting further from your destination all the time. Yes, sir, you're getting further from your destination all the time. You're traveling, but you're traveling in the wrong directions. Oh, Agent Rogers, I like to read more Agent Rogers. The worst form of badness, he says, you know what, is human goodness when human goodness becomes a substitute for a new birth. Y'all get that? The worst form of badness that you can have is your human goodness when that goodness keeps you from the new birth experience. That's the worst form of goodness. And a lot of people think they have it. Let me tell you, we got over 6 billion people on the face of this earth right now. And if I took this cup and we passed it around the 6 billion people, we took the best traits, the best thing that that person could do, the best person they are, and took that traits out of 6 billion people. And we pass it all the way around, and we give it to one man. You know what that one man had to do? you still have to bow before Jesus Christ and say, have mercy on me. Buddy, you think you good? All the goodness piled together in one man upon the face of earth, 6 billion people. All those traits, all your goodness put in one man, and that man will have mercy. God, have mercy on me. All the goodness of the world. Well, where does that leave you at this morning, sir? Ma'am, where does that leave you? That leaves you going away to hell, on the way to hell, if you don't accept Jesus Christ. 6 billion people. Salvation is not merit of man. I'm going to tell you what, it's the mercy of God. It's not the goodness of man, it's the grace of God. Verse 4 says again, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believes. Now the end of the law. Now the law says do and live. The law says do and live. But the gospel says live and thou shalt do. But the law says the wages of sin is death. But the gospel says the gift of God through eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The law of the man's holiness, but the gospel provides holiness. The law says do, and the gospel says it's already done. The law says give us legs to walk, but it gives no legs. The gospel says wings, and we might fly, which it gives to us. Salvation, let me tell you this morning, salvation is something, is nothing that we achieve. Salvation is a gift to receive. Salvation is not a goal that you're trying to reach by quit, by cleaning out your mouth and by trying being a good mother and a good father. You cannot achieve salvation. You receive salvation. You receive salvation. Verse 4, it says, again, Christ is in the law of righteousness to everyone that believes. This belief now is not just something that you have in your head. It's something in your heart, belief. It means commitment. It means to trust. It means to come and sit in this chair. It means to do something about it. What Christ has done for me. Testimony, what Christ has done for me. I was sick, sin sick, in my 30s. And I went to Dr. Law, and I says, Dr. Law, my eyes see things it ought not to see, and my feet goes places they ought not to go, and my mouth speaks things that it shouldn't speak, my hands does things they shouldn't do. Dr. Law, I need help. Dr. Law says, not your eyes, not your mouth, not your feet, it's your heart. No, you don't understand what I do, what I see. Oh, it must be my hands, it must be my feet, it must be my mouth. Dr. Law says, no, it's your heart. Well, I said, are there any hope? Dr. Law, are there any hope? Well, he says, I got some news to tell you. Your sickness is fatal. You're going to die. I says, no hope. Oh, yeah, he says, there's hope. He says, you can go over to Dr. Grace. He's right across the hall. You go over to Dr. Grace. I said, well, I don't have any money. He said, well, it's free. I says, you know how it is with doctors. You can't hardly get an appointment. He said, his door is always open. So I knock on Dr. Grace's door. He said, whosoever will shall come in. And I come in. And I told him the same thing. I said, I got a problem with my mouth. Got a problem with my feet. Got a problem with my hands. Got a problem with my eyes. And Dr. Law says, it's my heart. He said, that's exactly right. He says, is there any hope? He says, oh, yeah. I said, are you going to give me some medicine? I mean, that's what the doctor do. They prescribe you all type of medicine. He says, no, I'm not going to give you the medicine. Well, what are you going to do for me, Dr. Grace? I'm going to give you a heart transplant. I said, is it going to hurt? He says, it probably will a little. And right there, while I was awake, he didn't even have to put me to sleep. Dr. Grace reached into my heart, and he pulled out the ugliest, regressed, ugliest heart. I couldn't even believe that thing was in me. So vile. And he put me back a new heart. When he put me back a new heart, you know, I had a new nature. I had a new nature. And it was all free. of that new nature. That's what Christ has done for those who are saved. The source of the salvation, but it's so simple. So plenty of salvation. It said there in 6 and 7, but the rising which is of faith speaketh on this wise, save not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. Now it's saying, now where's the salvation? Christ is up there. Who's going to go up there and bring Christ down? Or who's going to go down and bring Christ up? And he says, you don't have to. He's already done this. Christ has already come down. Salvation has already come down. And he's already raised from the grid. How closeness now, I want to tell you how close salvation is to someone sitting in this building right now. It's very, very close. Now, verse 8, it says, listen to what it says. What saith it? The word is nigh even into thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. How close salvation is to someone sitting in this building right now? How close is it? The word of God said it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Well, how did it get there? Well, it says there in that same verse of scriptures, by faith we preach this. Well, now everybody in this building right now, I can assure you of one thing. The word is in your heart, and it's in your mouth. That means that everybody that's saved? No. It does not mean that all saved, because it's, the word is in your heart and also in your mouth. Very close. I put it there. I preached it there. The word of God by the Spirit of God. You hear this hour. It's there at your. That's how close you are of being saved right now. But what is what you do with that word that's in your heart and in your mouth. You remember Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 13, the sower went forth to sow. Jesus Christ was a sower, and the word of God, the seed was the word of God, and he sowed on four different types of soil. You remember some fell by the wayside, the same seed. Jesus Christ done the sowing, the same seed fell by the wayside, some on stony places, some there are thorns, and some fell on good ground. I want to tell you now, the one, oldest one of those four was saved if that was fell on good ground and they acted on the word of God. They acted on the word of God. It's in your mouth and in your heart right now because I preached it there. It didn't say that all saved, only what it does this hour. If you don't come accept Jesus Christ, the only thing this has done for you is increased your judgment unless you act and do something about it. The more light that God has given you, I'm going to tell you what, the more light he holds you responsible for. If you do not respond to the word of God and be saved this hour, and if you lost, you have increased your judgment that God's going to judge you for this hour. What do we do with it? Okay, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. What do we do with it? It tells us in the word of God, verse 9, exactly what to do. That if we shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God's raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, it tells us what your heart and your mouth. What to do with the word that's in our heart and the mouth. It says to start with, you believe it. You believe it. It's in your mouth. That means confess it. Is that very simple? Isn't that very simple? Now, your heart is private. No one knows about that, not even me. But I'm going to tell you what, your mouth is public. Your mouth is public. That's confession. Believe in thy heart's private. Confession is made with their mouth. What is faith? Faith is turned inside out. That's the reason it always goes together. Confession shows possession. If you confess Jesus Christ, that shows he possesses you. Pleasant Hill, are you saved? Say, well, I'm saved. Well, remember on Wednesday night that I told you you need to come on Wednesday night. I tell you, that's Bible study. You need to come on Wednesday night. Remember I told you what grace is? Grace accepted me just like I am. That's what grace is. God accepts me. God extends you grace this hour right now. God is extending grace to everybody in you. You're lost today. God is extending you grace. Well, what is grace? That means that God accepts you just exactly like you are. Don't change anything and don't try to change anything. That's grace, that God accepts me just like I am. Well, now what's faith? Faith is, if you come and sit in this chair, I accept God accepting me like I am. That's faith. I accept God accepting me with all my failures, with all my sins, with all my shortcomings. God accepts me that way. That's faith. I accept what God has accepted. He accepted me. Why? Because I asked him to forgive me and come to my heart and save me. Come sit in this chair. That's exactly what he's talking about. Confession means to agree with God. If you come and agree with God that you're lost and want to be saved, and Jesus said, I'll save you if you'll ask me to. If you'll ask me to come in your heart, forgive your sin, he says, I'll save you. And that's agreeing with God that he'll do what you ask him to do. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? That's hard. Look at submission there, salvation there in verse 9. Now, submission of it is, it says, Lord Jesus. Never Jesus, it's Lord Jesus. You know, salvation's not like going through a cafeteria and take this and take that. I'm going to tell you, lordship. Lord, you can't receive Christ as Savior and later on think that you're going to receive him as Lord, but he is already Lord. You don't make him Lord. God said, I've made him Lord. God's made him Lord. Marriage. You see, come and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's like a marriage. The wedding day, ceremony's over with. Cake's been cut. Rice has been thrown. Bride and groom, they get in their car. They take off. Bride looks over at her new husband. She says, where are we going? He says, we're going on our honeymoon. She says, no, I want you to take me home. He said, well, our new house is not ready yet. She said, I'm not talking about that. I want you to take me back to Mama's. Take back to Mama's. Yes. I enjoyed the ceremony. Had a good time. It was beautiful. But I want to go home. I want to go to Mama's. Now, I'll expect you to go back to your house, and I'll expect you, whenever I'm sick, I expect for you to come see me. And if I need some financial help, I expect you to come and send me some money. And occasionally, once in a while on Sunday, I might get around of seeing you. Maybe once a month. You know, who needs anybody? Who needs a church anyway? Once in a while, I'll come see you. But I expect you to take care of me. I want to ask you people here this day, would that be a marriage? Would that be a marriage? Well, I'm going to tell you what, I believe there's some people sitting in this auditorium right now, depending on their salvation, just exactly like that. And if you are, I'm going to tell you what, you're not saved. You're not saved. That's a mockery of the Word of God. If you depend on your salvation, just like that mockery of a marriage. That's a mockery of the things of God. If you're dependent on that, I'm going to tell you what, you are far away from salvation. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, a person really not ready to live until they're ready to die. Man, the early Christians, they had to say, Lord and Savior. Some of them, you know what happened to them? Man, they went to the dungeon, they went to the lion's den, boy, went to death. Did they? Because they believed that Lord was Savior. Why could they do that? Because, as I told you again on Wednesday night, they knew where they come from, and they know where they was going. I'm going to tell you what, I come from God, and I'm going back to God. And everything in between don't make a whole lot of difference to me, but it's all going to be over in just a few days. That's the security of the believers. But now find out, you know, the satisfaction of salvation. Verses 10 and 11. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. You know, not being ashamed now is a mark of salvation. Well, I'm saved, but I'm not going down there and sitting in that chair. I'm not going to be a member of church. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's the mark of your salvation, not being ashamed. Do you know what that word ashamed means? Ashamed, you know what it means? It means being in a hurry to get away. You know, I'm going to give the invitation in just a few minutes. We're going to stand up, and a lot of times, you know what? That person, they'll get just as low as they can. And they'll want that song to hurry and get over. And they'll grasp the back of them pews until they have their knuckles plumb turn white. Man, I hope this hurry gets over. I hope this hurry gets over. Man, I hope the hurry gets over. You know why they're doing that? Because they are ashamed of Jesus Christ. Ashamed of Jesus Christ to come. Sit in this chair. That's what that word means. Oh, Oh, you ever witness some people, you know what, they want to change the subject and get away? They're ashamed of Jesus Christ. There was a crusade revival. Man preached his heart out. A lot of crusade workers would go up and down the aisle. There was a lady in the back of the church. Raised her hand, want to be saved. Crusade worker went to the back. She said, I want to be saved. He said, okay, all you got to do is come forth and give your hand to the preacher there and give your heart to Christ. No, she says, in front of all those people, walking down in front of all these people. No, I won't do that. He said, well, you can't be saved back there. Next night, right back she was. Give the invitation. Who want to be? She raised her hand. Worker crusade went back, same thing. Would you like to come forward? No, she said, I couldn't do that. I couldn't walk in front of them people. I'm ashamed. He said, well, you can't be saved back there. Kept on fourth night into the fifth night. She raised her hand. Same worker went back. She said, you know what? She said, if I could just get peace with God, I'd do anything. I'd go anywhere. I'd just do anything. I'd go down in front. I'd do anything. If I could just get peace with God, I'd go down. And then, you know, the crusade worker says, now you don't have to. You can be saved back there. Y'all understand that? You don't have to now because you wouldn't do it and go anywhere. You're not ashamed of Jesus. You're not ashamed of Jesus now. You're not ashamed to sit in that chair now. Oh, you're not ashamed to sit in that chair now. All the scope now of it in verse 12 and 13, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all, the rich, all call upon him. Whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will. You know what that tells me? That tells me anybody that's willing to come sit in this chair can be saved. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't be ashamed of God if you want to. If just because you want to, you're going to have to come sit in this chair. Now, the word is nigh, says. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart. Now it's up to you. What type of soil does that word fall on? Anybody wants to be saved can be saved. That's whosoever will. Anybody who commits the unpardonable sin is that person that do not want to be saved. And that unpardonable sin that you will never, ever be saved because you don't want to be saved. You don't want to be saved. You don't want to be saved. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. If you want to be saved. Now I'm going to make it real easy for you. As easy and as simple as I can. I prayed God for this sermon to be just as simple as it could be. I pray that it's simple. If you hear the day and you want to be saved, I will make it very simple. As they come with a song of invitation, I'd like for everybody to bow their heads. I don't want you to stand right now. I just want you to bow your heads. Everybody in this building, I want you to bow your heads. Now, Father, if you have spoke to a person here this day and they're lost, you're here today and you know exactly who I'm talking to. Would you pray this prayer? Father Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for my sin. Father Jesus, I know that you love me just exactly like I am. I have tried to change. I've tried to clean out my life and I know it's no use. But I want you to accept me just like I am. And he said, I will. And I want to make an about face. I want to repent of my sins and walk in a different directions, and I just believe what the Word of God said, that if I'll ask you, Jesus Christ, that you will come to my heart and you will save me and you will forgive me of all my sin. You said you had the power to do so. I'm asking you that right now. Are you praying this prayer? And Jesus Christ said, I will. I'll come to your heart. And then all you got to do, you just slide out of those pews. You don't have to say anything to anybody. Confess it and just come and sit in a chair. Don't have to say anything. Just come and sit in this chair. And we'll tell you how to be saved. That's as easy as I can make it. But if you don't want to be saved, you walk out of those buildings lost. And you go on your merry way. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Okay.